you doing, Super Scoreboard fans? This is Stephen Mill from the Big Scottish Football Podcast. If you like what you hear from this week's episode, you can subscribe to our very own channel by searching for the Big Scottish Football Podcast via your regular podcast provider. Or you can give us a follow on Twitter as well, at Big Football Scott. You can get us on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you again for taking the time to listen to our latest episode.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron. How are you doing, Ewan? You all right?
Not too bad. A very happy boy after the result and performance against Ukraine and Poland. We'll talk more about that, obviously.
Yes, we'll get to that a little bit later on. And obviously, this isn't a Monday, as you'll notice. This is Wednesday we're recording this. But don't worry, from Monday, we are back to normal and we will have a special guest on Monday as well. So more clues about that over the weekend. You can follow us at Big Football Scott on Twitter. In today's episode, we'll review the Ukraine versus Scotland game, preview the return of the domestic fixtures at the weekend as well. Some big tasty ties there. We'll also check in if Scottish football were a world leader past or present. Some of these are absolutely tremendous. And Ewan has a rant about Scottish football and the telly. So remember, you can find us on all your usual podcast outlets and providers, on Twitter as well, as I said, at Big Football Scott, and we're on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just search the Big Scottish Football Podcast. You can give us a follow and give us a like there and catch up with all the usual stuff. Right, let's get to today's podcast, and we'll start with newly promoted Group A country, Scotland.
And we said cheerio to England as we moved our way up the league table.
That second half last night, I must say, is probably the longest second half of my life. It felt like it went on for about 55 million years.
We got battered. If truth be told, we got battered, but at no point did I fear that we were going to concede. That was what was so remarkable about last night. I thought we defended brilliantly. I thought the Yarmolenko chance in the first 7 minutes at the back post, that left foot volley, how he doesn't hit the target is unbelievable.
Had a chance that Craig Gordon saved was right through. Craig Gordon had a great save from a shot from outside the box. Also, there was a snap volley later on. But whilst we were quite clearly under a lot of pressure, I was the same as you. I felt all right. I was like, we're not going to concede here. And that was peak Clark ball last night as well.
And do you know what gave me great hope last night? Is the fact that we appear to have some interesting depth within the squad.
Absolutely.
I thought Ryan Portis, now we've discussed this at length on the Big Saturday Football Show about Ryan Portis and the kind of player that he is. And we all know he can be a bit erratic, a bit daft at times, does stupid things, but he's still young when it comes to being a central defender. He's got a lot to learn. But we've always defended him, you and I, and Steve Cowan, that there is a player in there. And I thought he showed that last night. He showed a maturity that I haven't yet seen from Ryan Portis. I thought the boy was colossal to come in such a game, making the Scotland debut. I thought he was phenomenal last night. Now, I thought the entire team were great, but I'm picking him out because it was his debut as well.
I would pick out Ryan Portis as well, but I'd also pick out another two. I thought Callum McGregor was absolutely outstanding in the middle of the park, much better than he'd played against Ireland at the weekend. I think he had an iffy game. I thought he did well last week, but last night he was absolutely tremendous. And I must pick out Aaron Hickey as well.
What a player he is.
He's not going to be at Brentford for very long. No disrespect to Brentford. I thought Hickey, he was composed, he was full of energy, he reads the game so well as well. And some of the covering challenges and runs that he made, I thought Aaron Hickey was outstanding. But yeah, you're right, for Portis to come in on his debut and put in that kind of performance, hopefully now he can kick on. Yeah. And hopefully now he'll go into much bigger and better things. I watched Steve Clarke's interview after the game last night, and he was just saying, you know, I knew Ryan Portis is capable of that sort of performance. I could see it in training, and that's why I thought, yep, he's going straight into the team. Because that was a big call.
Oh, it's a huge call. I mean, a lot of people looked at that team and thought, here we go. another
meme.
Scotland failure.
That meme from, it was the Queen's funeral, where I think it's the Archbishop of Canterbury or something, he goes, oh God.
Ryan Portis is starting.
Ryan Portis is starting. Oh, God. That made me laugh. But what a way to prove your critics wrong. And as you said, like, you know, I have defended Ryan Porteous on many, many, many occasions. And I'm just so glad that he came in last night and did a job. And as you say, he was absolutely colossal. Brilliant defensive performance. Also, Craig Gordon.
He's nearly 40.
Boy's
nearly 40 and he's flying around like Superman.
I think we'll need 10 days of mourning when Craig Gordon retires, to be perfectly honest with you, because...
But can I just ask a question here? Feel free to get involved in this in turn, Callum. Who replaces Craig Gordon?
Let's not worry about that. No, but let's just enjoy him while he's here. He's made a deal with the devil and he's somehow still the body of a 20-year-old. He's obviously drinking the blood of children, but it's working for him. And the longer he does it, the better. Let's not think about when he's gone.
Do you know what? Because he was out for so long, because he did miss, what, 3 or 4 years
through
injury. He did,
and they thought he'd never come back.
Maybe he's getting that at the back end of his career.
Possibly.
Now.
I mean, I thought he was superb last night. And let's going back to Aaron Hickey, right? There was a boy who was at Hearts. He then moved to Bologna. He lit up Serie A. He was superb for Bologna. He then gets an £18 million move to Brentford. You're right. He ain't going to be at Brentford too long. Maybe a season or two. At most, still young. I could see him at a Liverpool. I could see him at a Real Madrid. And I know that's hyping the boy up quite a bit, but I think he's got that potential in him. I think he is an outstanding prospect.
And just to go back to what you started with, it also shows the depth that we now have in the squad. Because I did see all of the people who are out, and intern Callum, I believe, has
this
a list.
This is why I've been so quiet over the last 8 minutes, because I was trying to remember. These are the only ones I can remember. Scott McKenna, Andrew Robertson, Kieran Tierney, Grant Hanley, John McLaughlin, Nathan Patterson, Liam Cooper, Scott McTominay, Jacob Brown, David Turnbull and John Souter all missing, and we still put in a performance like that. That's unbelievable.
We still won our group and got promoted.
But imagine 10 years ago having what is like at least 10 or 12 players of that calibre out and still putting out a team that good. That's incredible.
And as we pointed out in our last podcast, look at the average age of that team all round for the entire squad. I mean, that's a team that could be here for the next Euros, the next World Cup, the next Euros and another World Cup. I mean, it is exciting when you look forward.
Let us talk about the Euros, because obviously we are now guaranteed a playoff spot, which is great to have, because that's how we qualified through the last Euros, and it looks like we might be playing Israel and Serbia in the playoffs as well, just for a wee bit of nostalgia, you know. But in terms of the Euro draw, which is coming up next week, here's what we are in. Pot 1, Netherlands, Croatia, Italy, Portugal, Denmark, Belgium, Hungary, Spain, Switzerland, Poland. Who you want out of that, Ewan?
Poland or Hungary?
Poland or Hungary, I would take that as well. So we're in pot 2. Pot 3, Ukraine, Iceland, Norway, Slovenia, Ireland, Albania, Montenegro, Romania, Sweden, Armenia.
Armenia.
Yeah. I mean, yes. And you're wanting to avoid Ukraine.
Yes.
You want to avoid... probably Sweden as well. They've got a pretty decent record at qualifying for things. I probably wouldn't fancy Romania either. Pot 4, Georgia, Greece, Turkey, Kazakhstan, Luxembourg, Azerbaijan, Kosovo, Bulgaria, Faroe Islands, North Macedonia.
Can you believe that Faroe Islands are in pot 4?
See, this is what the Nations League has actually done, though. It's allowed the sort of
smaller teams
to go up and down a wee bit and maybe build a wee bit. And saying that, I would 100% take the Faroe Islands.
So would I.
And you're wanting to avoid Greece, probably Georgia. I think Georgia won pretty much all their matches in their Nations
League. Georgia's always a difficult place to go.
And that sends a shiver down the spine.
Alex McLeish days.
And Gordon Strachan as well come a cropper there. You want to avoid Turkey. I wouldn't fancy going to Istanbul, even though they're not the team they probably were 20 years ago.
They lost 3-2 to the Faroe Islands.
Yeah, they're mince right now, but I still wouldn't want to play them.
Exactly, you still don't want to play them. Pot 5 is Slovakia, Northern Ireland, Cyprus, Belarus, Lithuania, Gibraltar, Estonia, Latvia, Moldova, Malta. Not much to fear in there. You want to avoid Slovakia, probably want to avoid Northern Ireland.
Just for that Battle of Britain game.
Exactly, so you want to avoid that. And Cyprus can be a wee bit sticky as well. And then pot 6 is Andorra, San Marino and Liechtenstein, so no problems there. So hopefully we get a decent group. Top 2 qualify for the Euros as well. So if we either want a really, really good top seed like a Spain who just pumps everyone else.
Yes.
And then we can just finish second and then that's fine.
And we'll, we'll be in the Euros.
Exactly. We'll totally take that. We just need to qualify. Or we could have a Hungary or a Poland who are beatable. Decent sides, don't get me wrong. Very good sides.
But a chance to win the group.
But a chance to win the group that doesn't really matter as much. And then pot three, as we mentioned, we want Armenia.
We totally want Armenia.
We've just beaten them twice.
Can I just say here and now? Mark this down, please, intern Callum.
If you give him a proper title, I'll mark anything you want down.
We are going to the European Championships.
In Germany in 2024. Ewan Cameron says we are going to Euros. What do you think? At Big Football Scott, if you have an opinion on that as well. Right, absolutely brilliant the last three internationals. Steve Clark has turned it around, let's be honest, because in June there was lots of people calling for his head, including you.
Yes.
Ewan Cameron,
and I was right to, because that was a shocking summer. Listen to me,
and you know, I can't be bothered editing another rant, so just keep it.
I'm not going to rant.
There's going to be one later as well, so just keep this
not,
one
no there's not a rant,
just keep it brief though.
I'm still upset and I'm peed off at how we played in June and we're not going to be at the World Cup. When I watched that performance last night, that battling 0-0 performance, the way we devoured Ukraine 3-0 last week, our character in beating the Republic of Ireland 2-1, I think we'd had a cracking World Cup. See that team right now, we would get out of that group featuring the USA, Iran and England. And I'm so annoyed that we're not there. That Wales are there instead of us, because I think if we were there, we would 100% qualify for the knockout stages of the World Cup. So that still sits with me negatively, that we didn't get there, that Stevie Clark got it so wrong on that day. He got it wrong at Hampden during the Euros, and he got it wrong in June against Ukraine, and we missed out in the World Cup. And when the World Cup comes round, I'm just going to be thinking, what if?
I know,
what if?
Right. But what I would say is we can't change that.
Yeah,
now.
I know, but it's annoying still, mate.
We need to let that go.
It's annoying.
I know it's annoying. Listen, of course it's annoying.
And see, when the theme tune comes out and the telly's on and all the flags are there and there's not a salt iron, it's going to annoy me.
I know, of course, and that's annoying.
And see, when Wales turned up to play England, I'll just think, that should have been us.
I know, but everybody knows that the Nations League is a far more prestigious competition than the World Cup. Nobody's interested in the World Cup.
Yeah, because you've got promotion to Group A.
There's lots of issues with Qatar as well. Yeah, Who wants to go to Qatar?
Who wants to go there with all their problems? And
human rights issues and all the rest of it. We're boycotting the World Cup. Yeah. But anyway, let's take you back, Ewan Cameron, because we love this. And thank you very much to your old pal, Cat Harvey. So we've found some of your greatest hits tweets. This from September the 9th, 2019.
September 9th, 2019.
Told you.
Half-time, Scotland 0, Belgium 3. Steve Clark, the plastic pitch specialist. Don't even bother taking your seat in the dugout after half-time. Your time is up.
So that's from September the 9th, 2019. That is from a Twitter account, Ewan D. Cameron. Do you recognise that one?
Yes, that's my
account. That's your account, right? Okay. Uh-huh. Don't worry, we don't have many of these. Here's another one.
I mean, Ewan Cameron's an absolute... October 10th, 2019. Is it possible that Bertie Vogts is wearing a Steve Clark mask? We're a pathetic mess, an embarrassment, an utter shambles. Hang your heads in shame.
So that was after us getting beat by Russia, I believe, that time. Uh-huh. I mean, that was over.
But that's the only two, isn't it?
There's not another one or anything.
June the 11th, 2022. Stevie Clark must go. We've a very good squad of players being managed by a plastic pitch specialist. He's not good enough. This squad deserves better. Time for that dinosaur to head back to Jurassic Park. Rawr.
it's all right. We'll stop it now. There's one more.
June the 12th, 2022. If we get to another tournament, it will be in spite of Stevie Clark.
Just before you play the other two, what's good about Ewan's? It's not as if he just flip-flops his opinion.
Given
the day and what the weather's like, he's consistent. So for the next two, they'll probably be exactly the same.
So those are from 2019, one from 2022, a couple for 2022. So this one from, in fact, what's the day on this one?
March 17th, 2018. Stevie Clark, Manager of the Year.
And let's bring us right up to date, shall
September
we?
September 27th, 2022. Ukraine 0, Scotland 0. A brilliant battling performance from every single player. Ryan Porteous, take a bow, my son. I've said it for a while, but he's got huge potential. Thought he was colossal, and Hickey was also unreal. Well done, lads. He is such a wanker.
So, okay. Right. Can we move on to another subject, please?
No. I think just to round this off,
Yeah.
All I want from you...
I'm not doing it.
I'm not wanting an apology.
Oh, okay.
All I want from you is I maybe overreacted a bit.
Mate. Can I just say, at that time...
No. I'm not saying...
At that time, that's how I felt.
Did you overreact, though? Looking back, knowing what's happened now, have you overreacted? Three times you called for Stevie Clark to be sacked. He's now got us promoted to Group A. We've got a playoff place for the Euros in the bag already. We are in pot two. The highest we've been, I think, since Alex McLeish in like 2007, 2008 or something like that. He's already qualified for a major tournament as well. That goes for him. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course there have been disappointments, since even Stevie Clark said last night, he was like, we wanted to right the wrongs that we had in June.
Yeah.
And he actually came out and said, he was like, I think we, as a squad, we've learnt from our mistakes in June. He was like, as a coaching staff, as a manager, I've learnt from my mistakes as well.
I'm hearing all this.
So
what you're backing me in a corner here. What is it you want?
I want you to say that you overreacted. Did you overreact?
When I hear it like that.
Mm-hmm. That's how everyone else hears it, by the way.
And reads it on Twitter
and
when
reads
you
read it on Twitter when you write it.
But go on.
At that particular moment, that's how I felt. But when I hear it back, it may have been an overreaction.
Okay.
It may have been.
So for now. Stevie Clark can stay. Is that what you're saying? He's staying.
Well, yeah. Aye. I mean, he's doing a great job.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
The ever consistent Ewan Cameron across there. Right, we'll get to domestic matters in just a wee second. Let's get to if Scottish football were world leaders, past or present. We asked you to go quite highbrow with this one. And you delivered, as per usual. So at Big Football Scott is our Twitter account.
Can I just say I had to turn off my notifications? Because this was just boom, 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 boom. There were so many answers to his question.
Hello to Johnny Mack, who tweets us every single week. General Franco de Boer, he is in there. Pinochet Adams.
Pinochet Adams.
Very good.
You're going to need to pick the winner here, Ewan. So Pinochet Adams is in there. Andy Halliday gets in every single
week.
Is
he in again?
He's in more than multiple times this week. Kenny Burgess and Shore Duffy both said Gandy Halliday. Gandy Halliday.
That one's so good.
Very, very good. Hello to Mark Gavin, who says George W. Bashiri, which is not bad. Paul Potter from Dan McGowan as well. We have Clement Attlee Wallace, which is not bad.
Yeah.
Clement Attlee Wallace. We have Joseph Stalin Ruff.
Stalin Ruff.
Stalin Ruff.
Did you used to do a show with Alan?
Alan Ruff. Yes,
yeah, exactly. That's from Ross 1874.
Yeah.
Did you do a show with Alan Ruff?
Back in the day, Real Radio Football phone in.
me. It was massive. Me. Napoleon King. So he goes in as well from Chrissy T. Winston Burchell, as in Mark Burchell. I really like it.
Yeah.
Stephen Mill Clinton. That's from Michael Montagnani. Thank you very much, mate. Mother Teresa Ange Postecoglou.
Nah, not having that one.
Dalai Lamat O'Reilly. Nah. Poor efforts from D. Hughes there. Kofi Annan Athletic.
Yeah.
Of course. Raphael Schüttler. Raphael Scheitler? How are we saying that? I don't know how we're saying that. Robbie Nielsen Mandela. That's from Smiley Face. Boutros Gally McCoys. That's from Craig B. We've got Kyle McGuinness Can, which is not bad. Tom Lawrence of Arabia. Saddam Scott Bain. That's from Jason Howden. General Franco McAvenny. Lloyd George Burley. That's from The Human Bartender. Odson Edward Heath. Not bad.
Sorry, Edward Heath, yes.
Theo Roosevelt Snelders. That's from Alexander Wilson. Abraham Lincoln Redimps.
The team that
beat Celtic,
Celtic, that's right, aye.
Jacques Chirakis. That is very good. And of course, since we're talking about Hamilton Accies, they play on Fidel Castro turf, don't they? So that's from Andy Boy, 12345. Ronald Reagan Charles Cook from Miko. Ebi Skov Dahali Lama from Fatboy 77.
Ebi Skov Dalai Lama.
Yeah, it's Ebi not bad. Skov,
it's not like, nah, it's not good.
Right, some of them, I think that this is the best one we've done so far. So
I do like Boutros Boutros Ali.
Yeah,
Boutros Boutros Gali McCoys.
Boutros Gali McCoys. Yeah. Does he count as a world leader? Was he not the leader?
He was UN.
UN.
He
yeah.
was there during the Iraq War.
Right. Okay. So Craig B, you have won for Boutros Gali McCoys. Right. What are we doing next week?
If Scottish football were a song.
If Scottish football were a song.
Give examples.
So we could have Darren Young at Heart.
Young at Heart.
Yeah. We could have Chris Commons People.
Oh, that's good.
Very good, from Pulp. And you got one in town, Callum?
Chasing the Sunshuki Nakamura.
Chasing the Sunshuki Nakamura. Right, you can do better than that. At Big Football Scott, if Scottish football were a song, do not let us down. Obviously, Andy Halliday will have to appear at some point, so have that at the top of your thinking once that's out the
Andy,
road.
Andy, happy Halliday. Happy Holiday.
Happy Holiday? What song is that?
What song is that?
Is that not something Cliff Richard did?
No, that's Summer Holiday.
Andy.
Don't say it.
No, no.
Andy,
no.
Stop. Summer Holiday.
Nah, right, okay. At Big Football Scott on Twitter, you can search for the podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and you can get in touch and you can get a shout out on next week's episode, because that's how cool we are. Right, okay. Let's get to...
No, we're not.
What?
You all right over there?
What was wrong with my...
Oh, shut up, you.
It was just kind of rubbish. You're right. Looking for some, like, jump in my Carlos Bocanegra.
That's good. That's good.
Was
yeah.
that better than my
aye, it was, yeah.
Andy
yeah.
Summer Holiday.
Yeah, yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, let's get back to domestic affairs, because we have a full fixture list this weekend, which is great, and there are some big matches, aren't there, Ewan? So starting off with the lunchtime kickoff in the Premiership, it is Hearts against Rangers. It is the Ewan Cameron Derby. So, how's it going to go at Tynecastle?
I cannot wait for this game. What an opportunity for Hearts. At home, Tynecastle, full house, and a chance to go joint second with Rangers in the league. I mean, we won't get a better chance than this. I think Hearts are playing really well just now. I don't think Rangers are, but they're still there. They're still there or there's about. And on any given day, they could beat anyone, Rangers. I just hope they don't turn up on Saturday. But I think that Hearts have got a superb chance. Let's hope we don't screw it up. I think we'll give them a really good game. Oh, can I put this on record right now? Hearts won't lose. I'm not saying we're winning, but we're definitely not going to lose. We'll get something out of the game. I think it'll be tight. I don't think there'll be many goals in it either. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And the stories are going round that Halkett might be back as well.
That'd be a big boost.
That'd be massive for us if he was to make a comeback as well.
It's the first Ewan Cameron Derby of the season. It's Hearts versus Rangers. It's a 12:30
What do you think?
I think that will be tight as well. A draw wouldn't probably...
Would not surprise you.
Surprise me, no, to be honest.
In turn, Callum?
Although, to be fair, like again, it wouldn't surprise me if Rangers ended up winning 3-0. You know, like,
I know what you mean.
It could be one of those games. So
I fall on that side. I think they'll put pressure on Celtic and get a win.
Yeah.
So they'll go top of the league for a couple of hours?
Right, for a few hours.
So you think that's their inspiration, is we know we can go top of the league here. Mm-hmm. Let's get the job done.
Especially Celtic losing to St Mirren. I think after this international break, if Celtic could beat St Mirren, different story. But big carrot for Rangers.
Yeah, I kind of said that after Celtic's defeat to St Mirren. I did say that's just giving Rangers a boost because they're a wee bit down on themselves. And I think that would have given them a proper, like, incentive. Oh, wow, we're back in it here.
Celtic are taking on Motherwell at Parkhead on Saturday, 3:00 kickoff. Also got Aberdeen versus Kilmarnock as well. Dundee United against St Johnson. Ross County against Hibs. And St Mirren off the back of their win against Celtic. They're at home to Livingston this weekend.
How stupid do you feel now you predicted they'd get relegated? What? They're flying, St Mirren.
You predicted Livingston would get relegated and they're flying.
Moving on.
The Championship is Ayr United versus Inverness, Cove Rangers versus Arbroath, Hamilton against Dundee, Partick Thistle against Morton, and Queen's Park against Raith Rovers. Our guest next week is a Partick Thistle fan, so we'll have lots to ask him about. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. And I actually don't know what's going on at Partick Thistle. Every time I go on Twitter, it seems to be an absolute mess. So we'll get into that next week with him. Elsewhere in League One, Dunfermline versus Peterhead, Falkirk against Clyde, Kelty against Airdrie, Montrose, FC Edinburgh and Queen of the South Alloa. And in League Two, finally, it's Bonnyrigg Rose against Stenhouse Muir, East Fife against Stirling Albion, Elgin against Annan, Forfar against Dumbarton, and Stranraer against Albion Rovers. So, also this week, it saw the signing of a new TV deal for Scottish football. So, it's another deal with Sky until 2029. And Neil Doncaster gave an interview to Sky Sports yesterday. Just count how many times he says Sky or Sky Sports.
We're absolutely delighted to be now in partnership with Sky until 2029, live on Sky Sports, through the medium of Sky Sports. Sky Sports.
With Sky.
Sky Sports. Sky. Sky Sports. With Sky Sports and Sky over that period. The Sky Sports, the deal with Sky. Deal with Sky Sports, that Sky Sports see the value. Working in partnership with Sky Sports.
That was a 4 minute interview?
4 minutes and 40 seconds.
And it was 15 times he mentioned Sky Sports during that Sky Sports interview that he was doing live on Sky Sports. So you also got in touch with Neil Doncaster, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Me and Neil Doncaster go back a long, long way.
Would you describe him as a mate?
No. And I'm pretty sure he wouldn't describe me as a mate either.
Me.
I was actually genuinely surprised he actually replied to my text message. I thought he would blank me completely.
What's his picture on WhatsApp?
That's a great question.
What's his picture on WhatsApp? Go on WhatsApp. What does it say below it? Does it say at the cinema?
Hold on.
At the gym.
Neil Doncaster.
I'm fascinated to know what his picture is and what it says just below it.
That is the scariest selfie I have ever seen. It's like something from a Netflix documentary.
Right, okay. Right, okay, that's not good. That's not.
Oh, Christ.
And what's his wee bio below it?
Hold on, where's the bio stuff? Oh, no, hold on.
Why are you such a dad?
Why am I such a dad?
Yeah,
Neil.
Hey there, I'm using WhatsApp.
Hey there, just I'm the using. He's a hey there, but I'm using WhatsApp, which is actually fine. I think that's what mine is as well. Right,
that's a weird selfie, though, isn't it?
What you actually said and what he said to you. So tell us, we were basically trying to get him on this podcast.
We were trying to get him on, right? Now, I've known Neil Doncaster for many years, and we had a few run-ins in the past when I worked on the football phone and with Alan Ruff back in the day.
See
when I was doing that, we were amazing.
Mate.
Anyway, so I messaged the boy, right? But before we get to that, right, he went on and he did his interviews yesterday, banging about how great this deal is for Scottish football. But the fans of Scottish football, more or less every single fan in Scottish football, have said to him and the people who made that deal that it was undervaluing the game.
May I just very quickly say, because I think this is important, the one thing I think is really, really good about it is it's put the SWPL under the same umbrella. So women's football is going to get a platform.
Totally agree with that.
I'm really happy with that.
Yeah.
But I think that's important to say that before you then go on to what you're going to say.
Obviously,
that's a positive part.
There are positives. I was going to get to that, but thank you.
That's what I'm saying.
Intern Callum. But when you go onto social media, and any time that I post anything about this TV deal, the majority of football fans in this country think it's a poor deal. And to see Celtic fans and Rangers fans agreeing on anything is quite unique. But they agree on this, that we are underselling our product when you compare it to other nations across Europe. For example, Sweden and Norway and places like that.
So just to give the boy a shout out, actually, it's Andy Newport, yep, who's a journalist at the Daily Record. You can search for him on Twitter. Did a great interview.
Outstanding.
With the chief executive of the Swedish League. And he was basically saying how they've managed to grow attendances, grow the game, market the game over the last 15 years. They have doubled attendances in Sweden, average attendances over something like the last 15
Correct.
Years. And that is despite every single Swedish top flight and
second tier
match being live on TV. And the reason that the guy gave for that is he was like, well, we've made it attractive to go and see. So, you know, not everyone is going to want to go to the game.
Right.
But at least they're watching it on the TV. And then at some point, they might go a game in the future. And since then, their attendances have doubled. Now, the big thing about restricting the amount of games on TV in Scotland is they're scared that it would affect attendances. That's the big thing.
But there are plenty of cases out there to suggest that is wrong, and Sweden is one of them. Oh. And here's an example for you, right? I like Coldplay, right? But I wasn't breaking my neck to get a ticket to go and see them at Hampden. I didn't really care to see them. But then I watched them live on Sky Arts in Sao Paulo.
I've seen that gig.
Right?
Yeah. And they all had the wee wristbands in that.
And I was blown away because of the experience. I wanted to be there. And that's what they're doing in Sweden. They put on such a brilliant match day experience that when you watch on the television, you want to be part of it. And they've done a brilliant job of it. Like what happened when I watched Sky Arts, I ended up at Hampden because I wanted to be there. I wanted to be part of that. It's like whenever you watch a World Cup or you watch a big game. How many times do you watch an Edinburgh Derby? You go, God, I wish I could be there. Do you know what I mean? So Sweden have got it right. We don't have it right. And football fans in this country have been saying it for years. We're undervaluing our product. Now, Neil Doncaster, let's be brutally honest about it. He is no stranger to keeping a low profile. I mean, you very rarely see him. You very rarely hear him. Whenever there is a tough question to be answered, he goes missing.
I think that's a prime example of that. And we've called that an interview, that little clip. He says, yeah. It's PR.
It's fluff.
Because he knows that he's going to get asked easy questions by a company who are going to broadcast his games, and it benefits them both.
He goes missing when the tough questions get asked. There's no doubt about that. He doesn't face journalists who are going to ask him the tough questions. So I thought, let's see if Neil Doncaster would pop into the studio and have a wee chat with us. So I sent him a text message.
And at that point, we were going to get a real journalist to come into the podcast and ask him questions, obviously.
Yeah. Certainly not me. So I'll read out my text message to Neil Doncaster and tell me if I've stepped over the line at any point.
Okay.
Okay. Good afternoon, Neil.
Over the line, mate.
Good afternoon, Neil. It's Ewan Cameron here. Hope you're doing well. It has been a very, very long time since we had many a conversation during my Real Radio football phone-in days.
Real Radio.
I'm now back working on a football show, and I was wondering if you'd be up for a chat about where Scottish football is placed today and how the new TV deal is a positive going forward. It would be good to see you again and to have a proper chat about the national game. And more importantly, I believe the fans would love it also. Hope you can pop in and see us at our studios, or we can do it via Zoom if that suits you better. All the best, Neil, and I hope you're keeping well. Ewan.
Okay. Reasonable.
Reasonable. And
yeah, exactly.
Okay. Got a reply. Hi, Ewan. I actually did a piece with Clyde yesterday afternoon, and I'm not intending to do any more media on this in any event for the time being. All the best, Neil. And he was also travelling. Ultimately, he's done what he needs to do, and he ain't going anywhere near it again because he did his fluff pieces with the BBC and also with Sky. Now, I'm not surprised that he knocked us back, right? For many years, I've been criticising him, so I'm not surprised he said to me, I'm not speaking to you, I'm not coming on your podcast. But politicians face Laura Koonsberg, Fiona Bruce, Andrew Neil, and they get asked some really tough questions, but they put themselves in the firing line every single week on these politics shows. This guy runs Scottish football. He should be coming onto shows like this and speaking to the fans directly. He doesn't. He goes and does a fluff piece with Sky, which was embarrassing. I'm sorry, it was embarrassing listening to that.
Now, Neil Doncaster, as you've quite rightly pointed out, is the chief executive of the SPFL. His stock answer, his go-to...
It's always the same, and don't give me it. Don't give me it.
I represent what the clubs want.
Right, okay.
Is Neil Doncaster a pretty convenient punching bag for the rest of the clubs who get to hide behind him when everything's going okay. wrong and they make poor decisions?
But then you could say that about a politician who come out and they speak on behalf of a prime minister who might be under a wee bit of pressure, right? So you get to the prime minister through his subordinates.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Doncaster is the face for the SPFL. He's the chief executive. He's the man at the helm. He should be coming on to shows like this. Don't come on this show. Okay, go on to another podcast. Go speak to another journalist out there who's critical of the TV deal. He didn't do that yesterday. He did fluff pieces on telly and he walked away back to his throne.
Does he have a throne?
Imagine if he did.
Well, he does. I've been upstairs, right, at Hampden, the sixth floor.
And he's got a throne.
And he's got a throne.
that part might not be true.
Might not be true there, Ewan. In terms of the actual TV deal itself, 60 matches from 2025, I think that is correct.
They can't even show what they've got right now. They're not going to show 60 games.
To buy another 10 from, I think, 2027, and a possible other 10 after that as well. So it could be up to 80, but as Ewan rightly says, they can't even be bothered to show the 48 that they've got rights for just now. And another thing, it's not 60 matches they're buying. They're buying the full lot because nobody else can buy anything else.
There's no packages out there where they can share it and give it to somebody else.
I think there's three fundamental problems with this. One, it ties us into something in, you know, 7 years' time. Who knows what the world's going to look like in 7 years' time? Now, they're betting on safety.
Yes.
They're betting on getting the money in now, and then that's it safe. We can lock it in, that's fine. And to a certain degree, I can understand that.
They can budget for it.
I can understand that. Secondly, though, as we've already pointed out, Sky don't even show the correct number of matches at the moment. They couldn't be bothered to show all the matches last season. And who thinks that they're going to buy up these extra two packages? I don't think there's any chance that's...
Not a chance.
They might do it to stop other people getting it, but will they show them? I doubt it.
No.
And thirdly, I think that this is yet another example of Scottish football as a whole, not just Neil Doncaster, but the clubs as well, not thinking outside the box and trying to do something a little bit different. Now, they obviously got their fingers burnt a few years ago with Setanta. This deal that Sky have signed just now with SPFL is still less than the deal that they signed with Setanta. Setanta went down the tubes. We all know what happened there.
That was 12 years ago.
And
we're still actually getting less money than what Setanta were paying us at that particular time.
Yes.
We are undervaluing our product.
Per year.
But why they didn't put that out to the marketplace is beyond me.
I know
he answered that question.
He said the line that he did, and this was let's give him his due, even though I don't particularly want to. His line was that they shopped the Scottish football, the product, to all the markets he could think of, and this was still the best deal he could get. It's up to you if you want to believe it or not.
I think they probably did, but why wasn't it done in a public, like what happens at Sky, right? When the Premier League rights come up, there's a bidding process and everybody puts it in a bid and they'll get this and they'll get that. Like what happens with the Euros, what happens with the Nations League, international games and friendlies and all that stuff. Did that happen? Where we actually just put out there to tender and everybody got to bid on it. Who else was involved?
I've read a few tweets from people who have worked at other companies, and I don't believe that to be the case. I don't believe that was the case that was put out to tender. They maybe spoke informally.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But why didn't we go through that process of putting out to tender to see who might have been interested? Discovery Channel, who do the rights for the Swedish football. They might well have been interested.
Bear Grylls could have been hosting the Scottish football.
Oh my God, imagine.
It would have been amazing.
That? Yeah, that's superb.
He still wouldn't eat a mince pie from Avro.
Air crash investigation. Very good. Right, okay.
I think to end this debate about the TV deal, I think you're right. The Scottish clubs are thinking short-termism. They're getting the money in. They can budget for that and they can plan ahead. But I do think that we are undervaluing our game. I think we've got some brilliant football clubs in our country. They've got a huge history, huge fan bases, and we deserve so much more.
And those clubs that you mentioned barely get a look in on Sky. They barely get a look in.
Agreed, that's my point.
Great point. Before this TV deal was agreed, I think it's September and October, there's 9 games live on Sky for Scottish football, all 9 of which involve Rangers, Celtic, or both.
Now, I get the Celtic and Rangers are a big draw. I totally get that. But how are you going to build the entirety of Scottish football?
Correct.
By not showing any other Scottish football teams? It's ridiculous.
Correct.
It's so ridiculous. And people will say, oh, nobody's interested in watching St Mirren versus Aberdeen. Well, that's nobody's interested in watching West Ham versus
Brentford.
Brentford. But I bet you 1.5 million people still watch it every Sunday.
They do. Nobody's watching Brighton versus Wolves.
They're not
Wolves.
Watching the teams. They're watching the league.
Correct.
And that's what the Scottish League has failed to do over the last 10, 15 years. But anyway, we're never going to fix it. And we're tied into 2029 now. So yeah,
7 years.
7 years. Mm-hmm. God, what do you think we'll be doing in 7 years?
Moaning about Neil Doncaster.
if we're still here in 7 years, I'd be very, very surprised. Right, any other business before we move on? You and Cameron, are you a happy boy?
No, I'm a happy boy. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Mon the Jambos against Rangers at Tynecastle.
Okay, okay, right. We'll be back on Monday, as we mentioned. This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. And a quick reminder, we will have a very special guest on Monday. Our brand new game player, Joe Cardle's right, will be back as well. Joe Cardle will be joining us too. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on whichever podcast provider you use. Don't miss a podcast there. Thank you very much, Ewan Cameron.
Thank you, my friend.
And thank you to you all for listening and tweeting the show as well. Keep an eye on our socials for If Scottish Football Were a Song. Post, and we'll be back on Monday with another brand new episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. You can get us anytime at Big Football Scott. That's our Twitter feed. Subscribe anywhere, and we'll be back next week. Mon the Pars.